Booster.
Go.
Retro.
Go.
Vital.
We're go fly.
Guidance.
Guidance go.
Procedures.
Go.
Capcom.
We're go fly.
Launch control, this is Houston. We are go for launch.
This is Space Talk, a weekly program that highlights America's space program and what's new in the space flight from around the globe. And now, with the past, present, and future of space exploration, here is Jim Behnke.
And good afternoon, everyone, from Florida's Space Coast, home of the most skilled aerospace workforce in America now and forevermore. I'm Jim Behnke, and this is the April 17th, 2010 edition of Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust, performance you can count on. Well, like a fast-moving tropical storm, President Obama blew through the Space Coast on Thursday. He saw a few of the sights, spoke his piece, clarified a few things, left a few questions unanswered, and then was gone, leaving us to pick up the pieces and assess the damage, if any. And, boy, what a visit. If you've got some thoughts or comments about the president's visit, and concerns, questions, comments about what's in store for the future of our space program, this is the day to talk about it. I would love to hear from you. I am withholding great emotion right now, and frustration and anger and positive and negative and all of that combined. I am charged up big time, ready to explode, and perhaps we can talk about this together. 321-768-1240 is the number to connect you to here from anywhere. And local AT&T customers can, as always, punch in *1240 on their handheld device for a free phone call right here to the studio. And if you are listening live online to our streaming audio at WMMBAM.com, I encourage you to open up another window there and send us an email, the address spacetalking@AOL.com. Spacetalking@AOL.com gets you right here into the studio as well. We've got a screen open and ready for your questions that way. Later on in the program, as we move along today, we are going to get some reaction to what the president said from some good folks in Washington. Our U.S. Senator George Lemieux is going to be on the program here in a few minutes, and later on, U.S. Representative Suzanne Cosmos will be calling in as well. But in the meantime, for what it's worth, I guess let me kick it off by telling you a little bit about what I'm thinking and feeling this good day. You know, the budget came out in February. The vision for space exploration came out in 2004. We have known for a long time that our space shuttle program was on its way out, and we've had 6 years to prepare for that. The president, our current president, proposed a budget in February that maintained that plan to cancel the space shuttle program and retire the fleet. But he went one step further and as you know, ordered the cancellation of Constellation, a phrase we have learned to speak carefully over the last few weeks. And in doing so, sent a message, perhaps unintentional, perhaps misguided, and perhaps misinterpreted by those of us out here, that this was going to be the end of the American manned space program, that we would no longer be sending astronauts up, that we were not going to do space exploration, that it was all done, and we were grounded for years to come while we go develop some new technology and fly a lot of robots and whatnot, and that was it. We're done. Turn off the lights at the Kennedy Space Center. Turn off the lights at the Johnson Space Center. Turn off the lights at the Marshall Space Flight Center, and watch activity just go away. That's it. And thousands of people out of work around the country. Well, that certainly did feel like that was what the budget said when you looked at it in the first day and the first few days afterwards. But as NASA has had time to try to explain what was in this budget, as Charlie Bolden has been out there preaching to other to Congress in Senate hearings and in hearings on the House, as he's been out in public, as we have had a chance to see more verbiage come out in text form to see what people are saying about this and analyzing it. And as I have sat here and thought about it for these many weeks, I just cannot agree with those who say that this is the end of the manned space program and that this is necessarily the gloom and doom that everyone has made it out to be. Now, this is not to say I am in lockstep barrel with the president. I try very hard to put the politics aside. I know what letter is on my voter registration card, and I know what letter is on his, and that they don't necessarily match. I am trying to not do some knee-jerk political reaction, which I have heard a lot of in this community and around the nation and on the blogs. And, you know, it works both ways. I remember when President Bush put out the vision for space exploration, it was immediately the Bush plan, and every Democrat in Washington lined up to try to kill it. And Senator Nelson, bless his heart, found himself dancing a tight wire, on balancing on a tight wire down the center aisle of the Capitol building, of the Senate chamber. I could almost visualize it in my head as he's finally hearing what he's wanted to hear for a long time, but yet, you know, the other party suggested it. And now just the reverse has happened in a way. We've got a program here that's got a lot of good stuff in it, and yet people have had this reaction, especially in this very conservative Republican county, that it's not so good. And there is no denying there is going to be some harm here. There's going to be some hurt here as we see workers laid off and we face some trying economic times. I don't want to diss that in any way, shape, or form. We're going to have to go through some tough times before we get through some better times. But I think that this vision here, which still needs to have a nice label put on it and a nice pretty bow put around it and packaged in a way that I think the average person can get behind, I don't think that's happened yet. But there's a lot of good stuff here. And I think the good stuff is in the technology demonstration. It's in trying to figure out ways to solve the problems that we need to solve to be able to go beyond lunar orbit, to go beyond the moon, to go to an asteroid, to go to Mars, to go to the moons of Mars. There are things we don't know how to do yet, and we need to figure out those ways to do it. We don't know how to get there yet. We can't just design a rocket and go tomorrow. It's going to take some time. And I think taking a time now to concentrate on those technologies rather than on the destination is probably a good thing. Now, again, I'm not in total agreement with this. The president came in here on Thursday and said he didn't want to go back to the moon, and I extremely am in disagreement with that. I think we've got to go back to the moon. I think we've got to go back to the moon because that's where we can try out the technologies we need to go to Mars. I think that rationale still exists. I think there's still a scientific reason to go to the moon. We need to go to the moon to continue to explore it. We don't know everything about the moon that there is to know. There's still some more things to discover up there. If you wanted to discover Earth, as we've said in the past year, I think on this program, if you want to discover Earth and learn all you can about Earth, but you only get to pick six places to land on this planet, which six are you going to pick? Which six? And then say you've known all that you can know about this planet. Well, I think there's a lot more to learn about the moon, and I think there's a lot more learned about all of this stuff, and there's a lot more we're going to talk about here during the next hour as we get into the specifics of some of these each areas, about the shuttle, about space station, about the need for the president to follow through and Congress to follow through on what they promised here. So we're going to get to all of that, hopefully hear from Senator Lemieux here in the next segment and continue to talk about what the president said here on the Space Coast as this edition of Space Talk continues on a Saturday afternoon on the Space Coast. I'm Jim Banky. And you're listening to WMMB. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
And now back to Space Talk on WMMB.
and welcome back to Space Talk, brought to you by United Space Alliance. 321-768-1240 is the number to call to join us today with your questions and comments. Or you can send us email to spacetalking@AOL.com. Again, spacetalking@AOL.com. We're standing by for a phone call from Senator George Lemieux, who was scheduled to be in this segment and promised he would call, and we're still trying to get that call put together. But as you know, things can come up with these lawmakers, and we will get along without him if we need to. But we'll stand by for that and see what happens. In the meantime, we'll continue to talk about President Obama's visit to the Space Coast. We did get an email here from Meredith, and Meredith asks the question, makes the statement, asks the question, the Space Center is shared between the districts of Bill Posey and Suzanne Cosmas. How come Bill Posey wasn't invited to ride down on Air Force One and otherwise participate? And that certainly is one of the questions of the day. And, you know, is there a good answer? I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. I'm going to guess that it's all about politics. I'm going to guess that because Representative Posey's a Republican and Representative Cosmas is a Democrat, and because Posey has been so against the Obama plan from the beginning, why would you invite him? Why would you have that kind of negative guy, that guy that's not with you, come ride with you? On the other hand, to her credit, Suzanne Cosmas has been very balanced in her approach to this. She's been for the president and against the president all at the same time. There have been times when we've not liked that. The health care thing came up. She switched her vote at the last minute, allegedly because of it would gain support for the space program, and something we can ask her about later. But on the other hand, even in the comments she put out right after the president's visit on Thursday, it was very balanced and said, look, she agrees with some things and disagrees with others. And so I don't know the very specific reason, Meredith. I don't think there's a reason why Representative Posey wasn't there. But, you know, it was very interesting to watch the crowd that was there at the Kennedy Space Center in terms of who was invited and who was in the audience. And, you know, Senator Nelson was there. That makes sense. And Representative Cosmas was there. That makes sense. Buzz Aldrin was there. He's been very outspoken against kind of the whole plan that we've been following for a long time now. And so it made sense. And he was very much pro Obama in terms of the plan to go to Mars. He's never wanted to go back to the moon. He's wanted to go to Mars. He's wanted to go to Mars since for years. And he's got a very interesting way of doing it too, by the way, which we can talk about another time. So that all made sense. Now you looked at who the room, and one of the most intriguing things I found about who was in the room was Bill Nye the Science Guy. And, you know, I don't think I've ever seen him here at the Cape, but suddenly there he was in the ONC building, and he was there in the audience. So, Meredith, go figure. But, you know, once again, as I want to say, you know, this past week, President Obama did fly into the Cape, said a bunch of things, and didn't make a lot of the local people happy. He flew on to Miami, of course, for a fundraiser later. And one of the questions we have, of course, is how has this all played out in Capitol Hill? And around the rest of the state even. And to help us find that out, we are honored now to have on the line with us our junior United States Senator from Florida, George Lemieux, joins us today by phone. Senator Lemieux, welcome to Space Talk, sir.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, you bet. It's a great honor to have you with us. It's a pleasure to meet you, at least by phone. I don't think we've ever had a chance to meet in person. I want to ask you a real quick question before we get into the meat and potatoes of this. I know that you were born and raised in South Florida, and we don't hear a lot about you connected with the space program in the same way that, of course, we hear Senator Nelson. Of course, Senator Nelson grew up here in Melbourne. Tell us about your upbringing with space. Were you intrigued by all this? Did you get a chance to see the rockets?
Well, yeah, of course. I mean, I don't know how you could grow up in Florida and not be just totally captivated with the space program. You know, I remember the first time the shuttle went off as a kid in grade school, watching it on television.
Yeah.
You know, and obviously, you know, the Challenger disaster and all of the. And I wasn't alive to remember the Moon program or the Mercury or any of those programs, but you know, the space program is part of American exceptionalism, and it's part of what makes Florida great. So I'm very proud to represent the state where America reaches for the stars.
And
last weekend I had a chance to go visit Cape Kennedy and go see Bob Cabana and take a tour of all the facilities, and was just tremendously impressed and proud of the work that's being done there, and want to make sure that work continues. And that's why I, while being respectful about it, I've been critical of the president's initial plan, which I thought was the death of the space program, like our, you know, our vaunted astronaut Neil Armstrong said.
Right.
And I've been critical of this plan. We don't have a plan yet. We have a white paper and a speech. I wanted to give the president the freedom to come down to the Space Coast and hopefully give us a vision, you know, his vision for space exploration, for manned space exploration, tell us where we were going and when we were going to get there, like President Kennedy did. And, you know, frankly, I think he fell short.
Yeah, what's missing? What do we need to hear that we haven't heard yet?
Well, saying that we're going to go to deep space in 2025, maybe I'm just too much of a layperson,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know what that means.
Right.
It's not, deep space is not a destination. We got to understand what that means. And it's hard to be captivated by, you know, the statement that we're going to go to deep space by 2025. And then we're going to orbit Mars in the 2030s and someday land there. That's just not tremendously definitive. That's like President Kennedy in 1961 saying, you know, we're going to go to the moon someday, you know, end of the decade-ish, and we may land, and that'll be afterwards.
Right.
So I think it leaves a lot, you know, to be filled in with detail. I would rather have had a more declarative statement. You know, he tells us that there are going to be more jobs for the Space Coast. I want to dig down into that, make sure that that's right.
Right.
Now, I wish we would have stayed on the Constellation program or something like the Constellation program that was a definitive delivery structure with a more definitive timetable for achievement. And I'm going to work in my remaining time in the United States Senate this year to make sure that we don't lose our leadership as the preeminent power and program for manned spaceflight.
And as we talk about that, we talk about relying on commercial for launching humans, our astronauts into low Earth orbit, and retiring the shuttle, and there's still a lot of talk within lawmakers about extending the shuttle program. We heard nothing about that from the president. NASA certainly isn't actively working toward that. Where do you stand on that, and what do you think the chances are that the shuttle will continue to fly beyond this year?
Well, I know that a number of my colleagues want to see the shuttle to continue to fly. We can fly the shuttle, additional flights. We can spread out the flights that are on the books now so that we can have a couple more years of shuttle flights. The shuttle is still in very good condition. We obviously need to make sure it's safe before we operate it, but it's still in very good condition. I saw the refurbishment and readying that they're doing for the Atlantis for its flight.
Right.
We cannot rely upon the Russians to take us to the International Space Station. And the idea now that we're going to just use Orion as a lifeboat, I mean, that's really degrading the vision of what Orion's supposed to be.
Yeah, and I don't understand, Senator, what is he talking about using it as a lifeboat? Because doesn't that suggest that it's got to go up there? And if it's got to go up there first, why not use it to carry our guys up and back?
You know, it seems to me that they all got together in a room and said, well, our first proposal has been rejected. We've got to do something. And they came up with some half measures.
Yeah.
And you know, like I've said before, I think if the first plan was the death of the space program, this is the space program on life support.
Yeah, yeah.
And my colleagues from Alabama and Utah and Colorado and other states that understand the importance of America's preeminence in space. We are not going to let this administration dismantle the space program. We've got to be effective and efficient in government, and I'm one of the loudest, you know, proponents in Washington of spending within our means.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that we can't have priorities, and there are some things that only the federal government can do. Only the federal government at this point in time can, through a program like NASA, put men into space. Yeah. This low Earth orbit that the commercial folks may do someday, that's great, and we want to encourage that and support it and welcome it when it comes. But they're not going to put, you know, the private sector cannot put a man on the moon. The private sector can't throw a man into deep space or on an asteroid. And they certainly can't send a man to Mars. So that's what NASA's for.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. And a lot of people, you know, who look at us as Republicans say, well, we're all against, you know, no government. Well, it's not no government. It's a government that has a purpose. And certainly NASA leads right up. Real quick, Senator, with about 30 seconds left, what's next in terms of the Senate schedule and when we might see some action from Congress?
Well, we're going to have committee meetings in the Commerce Committee to talk about space funding. We're going to be dealing with the budget here in the coming weeks. And my colleagues and I, you know, and I'm willing to work with anyone on this. You know, we've had bipartisan opposition to the original Obama plan. There seems to be some of my colleagues think this plan's okay with maybe some tweaks to it. I'm hoping that we can all work together, Democrats and Republicans alike, within the Florida delegation.
Good, Senator. I got to cut
for something better.
Got to cut you off there. Thank you so much for your time. Let's talk some more again in more depth.
Look forward to it.
Good. We're going to take our 5-minute built-in hold here. Back with more on the president's visit. I'm Jim Banky. You're listening to WMMB.
Now, back to our own mission specialist, Jim Banky.
And welcome back to the second half of Space Talk on WMMB, brought to you by United Space Alliance. Innovation you can trust and performance you can count on. Again, 321-768-1240 is the number to call to get you right here into the studio. Star 1240 for AT&T wireless customers along the Space Coast. Via email, send us a note, spacetalking@AOL.com will get you in here. And I remind you that during the course of the week, you can follow us on Twitter. Our username is Space Talking. If you want to follow us on Twitter, Space Talking is the entry there. And you can keep an eye out on our Space Talk website by going to WMMBAM.com. Keywords Space Talk for all of that. And I have to admit that I have been negligent in updating that site recently, and I need to do that. So hold me to the fire, hold my feet to the fire, and we'll see if we can get that updated here for you in the next couple of days. A lot of other things you can do at that website as well. Not only stay in touch with everything going on here in WMMB land here and with the Bill Mix Show, but also be sure and download, if you want, or subscribe to a podcast of our of Space Talk every week. The current most current show is up for you to take put on your computer forever and ever. And Aaron, our able engineer, our Starship chief engineer here at this show. Yes, thank you. He's always waiting for that. We'll have the current show up usually by the end of today. So that's great. We are standing by now for a call from U.S. Representative Susan Cosmos, who is actually having technical difficulties, if you can believe that. And so as soon as they can get some of their phone issues figured out and dealt with, she's going to give us a call here in a little bit from now. So let's go back and talk more about President Obama's visit to the Space Coast and some of the reactions that that folks have had, and frankly, my reactions to the way folks are reacting. There were quite a bit about that speech that just went right through me, past me, as like, this is just standard political rhetoric, and you know, you don't pay attention to it. You just kind of let it roll over you. But there were some things he said that I definitely did not agree with. And I mentioned one of them at the earlier part of the show where we talked about the moon, where the president said that going back to the moon, attempting a return to the surface of the moon is just crazy. Basically, he said, you know, the quote was, "We have been there before." And I wanted to really follow up on that, because we need to go to the moon to figure out how we're going to go on to Mars and to the asteroids and do all those other things we need to do, but we need a place to practice that, and I think the moon is the best place to do that. Now, other things, commenting on no shuttle, he did not comment on the shuttle. Apparently there was no extension in the works, and I know that's something that that our local representatives are going to continue to study and continue to fight for. And now looking at the board here, I see that we can ask her directly about that. U.S. Representative Susan Cosmos, whose district does include the Kennedy Space Center, and she was on board Air Force One, traveled with the president on Thursday. And Congresswoman, we're grateful to have you back on the program, making a record-tying third appearance on this humble little radio show. Congresswoman, welcome to Space Talk.
Thank you. I'm always happy to chat with you.
Well, that's great to have you. First of all, before we get into the heavy-duty stuff, let's just step back for a moment and revel in kind of the celebrity of it all. I mean, I don't care whether you're a Democrat or Republican or who you're for or who you're against or whatever. The experience of flying a presidential trip on Air Force One. I mean, you know, how cool is that? I mean, you're a grandmother halfway through her first term in Congress, and you get to fly on Air Force One. How cool was that?
Well, I have to say it's quite an honor. Even my crustiest old buddies consider that it to be pretty darn cool, and as well as my grandchildren.
I was going to say, did you get the matchbook cover or the ashtray or the little cup or the napkin or anything? I hear they put
they
those things out.
They give you a souvenir package. So, it includes a little package of M&Ms with the presidential seal and things like that. But more importantly, it gave me the opportunity to do what I have been doing ever since the day I got elected, which is putting before the administration our desires to ensure that the Space Coast maintains its place as the number one launch facility in the world, and that we continue to work on the ways in which we can mitigate the gap that will occur at some point at the end of the shuttle. And I'm very pleased that the president came here and gave his direct personal attention to all the things that we've been talking about, or many of the things, I should say, that we've been talking about. And it was I think, a very good sign that he's personally engaged in ensuring that America remains number one in human space exploration, and that the Space Coast gets some opportunities for things that I think the people in my community there have been working for a long time, which is opportunities to bring more work to the Space Coast and to engage in some diverse kinds of opportunities that will bring new jobs and more jobs.
Well, and the thing I want to ask you about, though, and it does stem from the fact that you did get that one-on-one time. You know, we see the president with his quote-unquote face on doing the speech, and we hear the standard kind of talk of politicians and whatnot. But you had the one-on-one time, and I'm curious, what did you learn? What have you learned from him in terms of his true support, his true thoughts about support for space exploration?
I think there's absolutely no question that he is, as he says, a space guy, and that he appreciates the value of all the science, technology, and engineering benefits that we gain from our exploration in space. There's no question in my mind that he is truly engaged in recognizing that as a great American endeavor. Mm-hmm. And I think he made that clear in his speech. A number of the things that he outlined in the speech, I think, were improvements to what we had heard before.
Right.
And as you know, he included some things that are very specific to the Space Coast area that will be very, very important. The efforts at preserving the workforce there, including the continuation of the Orion capsule, as you know, the establishment of the commercial crew office at the Kennedy Space Center will bring jobs related to all the commercial activities that should grow out of that. The economic development funding is not only workforce development, but these are funds that will be available through Department of Commerce and others that will help us to attract some businesses, frankly, that I have waiting in the wings that want to grow their businesses or bring their businesses to this area because we are the Space Coast launch facility of the world. Well, I think the idea that he has committed over $2 billion to improving the infrastructure there shows a strong commitment to guaranteeing for the future that Kennedy Space Center is the launch facility that we all know and love today and will be for generations to come.
Well, with the Orion spacecraft, here's a detail I'm still weak on, and I don't know if you've heard anything more about it, but when he says an Orion light version, if you will, going up to the space station as the crew emergency rescue vehicle. I'm having trouble understanding the operational side of that, and I don't know if you have any more details on that, but it seems to me that if you're going to launch a capsule up there to use it as a lifeboat, you're essentially replacing the idea of using a Soyuz for that, which means can't we carry people up to the station and back on this capsule? And that's a little different than just putting an empty thing up there in case it might be needed. Do you have any insight into that?
What it means is we will continue to develop Orion in order to ensure that it is crew ready, so that putting it up there and using it as an escape it also ensures that the development of it continues. And there was a line in his speech, which I don't have in front of me at the moment, that specifically referred to using the Orion also for delving deeper into space. So I think there is an opportunity there for us to look at what has been said and to know that, first of all, we're not going to ignore all of the advancements and technical expertise that has gone into the creation of the Orion, but we're going to put it to good use, and that the opportunity there for us to develop it further is certainly available based on what he said.
Yeah, it seems to me there was an opening there to say that we would continue to use Orion, and maybe we could use it as the vehicle to get to the station and help close the gap. And in terms,
I think all of those things are on the table. If there is going to be commercial crew competition to get to the station, then the Orion is an available part of what's being developed that could be made crew ready. So that there is definitely a lot of opportunity there.
Now we've heard the speech. Where are we at with the shuttle? Both you and Representative Posey mentioned in your statements the idea that extending shuttle may not be dead as far as you're concerned. What's your thinking on that right now?
Well, again, as I said, I think there are many things that we cannot afford to overlook that are really, really strong improvements and show that the president has, as I said before the speech, we need him to fill in the blanks on some of these things, and I think he's done that. And I think we need to really take a deep breath and say, okay, what's in here that is really good for the Space Coast, because there's a great deal of attention, as I said. On the other hand, this is not the final say on what will happen, and as you know, Congress will have its opportunity to take this proposal and to run it through our own committees and our own appropriations process and see what we come out with that will end up in a bipartisan agreement. The shuttle extension, some of us feel, is important. I think that there are ways in which we could look at even the spreading out of the remaining shuttles on the manifest,
okay,
the addition of the one.
Congresswoman, I got to have to cut you off
there. Sorry, go ahead.
I'm sorry, we're out of time. We'll talk to you again. We'll be back in 2 more minutes.
This is Space Talk with Jim Behnke.
And welcome back as we begin our final segment of today's Space Talk, sponsored by United Space Alliance. Congresswoman Cosmos, we had to cut you off there for the hard break. Let's finish your thought on space shuttle, and let me ask you one more question. But let me go ahead and let you finish your thought about extending shuttle and what's next.
Well, as you know, I have introduced legislation which has been introduced in the Senate as well that would provide for additional shuttle flights, which I personally think can be done safely and would provide us an opportunity not only to continue to use our workforce, but frankly, to give us direct access to the International Space Station so that we can service and support that in a way that is otherwise unavailable to us on an American vehicle.
Yeah.
So we will continue to work with our colleagues on both sides of the aisle to see whether that's a possibility or, as a minimum, that we spread out the remaining manifest and add one shuttle at least to that manifest. So that should help us ease through some of the transition period here while we begin to take advantage of the other opportunities that have been put before us.
And I actually begin to think that that's not a bad idea, spreading out shuttle, going down to one shift, you know, and just kind of taking that hit in layers, if you will. But the thing is, for example, Atlantis rolls out to the launch pad, I think it's Monday of this week.
Uh-huh.
You know, so
right,
the last three are happening. I mean, if we're going to delay these three remaining missions and add another one, I mean, isn't it time to do that now? Is there any... Is there
well,
just
again,
legally anything you can do?
My colleagues in Congress are very eager to get moving on making whatever adjustments to the president's proposal. It's going to be going through committee fairly quickly. As you know, in years past, the shuttle launches have experienced their own delays for a variety of reasons. You know, the good news is that we've gotten better at it and we have fewer delays. Unfortunately, right now, the delays would be welcome.
Yeah, Mike Limbach and Pete Netgalinka aren't going to let that happen. They, you know, those things are going to fly on time. And that's what I was wondering is, you know, how fast can legislation be done to take an act of Congress signed by the president to delay the shuttle? Or is it, you know, I just don't know the logistics of how that all works. But
Well, what I do know is that Senator Nelson and I got authorized last year the opportunity for this to go beyond September of this year, should it be necessary. So, you know, the pieces are in place where that could happen if it becomes necessary. The pieces could be in place as well for us to do it by making an affirmative decision to do so.
And so what is next now? I mean, what's next on your list, and what more do you need to hear from the president of the White House to continue to move this process forward?
Well, what I will be doing is continuing to work with the White House and the administration and keeping the dialogue going, and then working very closely with my colleagues on the Science and Technology Committee, specifically the Space Subcommittee. We're going to be working on putting together legislation that will come out of that committee. Senator Nelson will be working in the Senate on his side, as well as Senator Mikulski. So there are a lot of people actively engaged and very, very interested in seeing to it that we continue to maintain our leadership in space exploration, and that we continue to have the opportunity to take advantage of all of the good science and technology, as well as the inspiration for generations to come. And we will come to some decisions, I think, shortly, and hopefully this will be good. As I said, what we don't want to do is lose sight of the good opportunities that have been brought to specifically to the Space Coast through the president's speech. At the same time, we're going to keep working to make it better.
That's great. Well, Congresswoman, thank you so much for your time today, and we'll talk to you again. You'll be the record breaker the next time. So we'll talk to you again.
Okay.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Thank you.
Talk to you again. Okay. There goes Congresswoman Cosmos. We're just running out of time here today. I know there's some folks here wanted to ask a question, but we're just short of time. I wanted to make sure I had enough time to update you on a few other things that are going on around the Space Coast and things to look forward to. First of all, I want you to know that SpaceX conducted another countdown dress rehearsal on Friday for their launch of the Falcon 9. This is a huge deal. This is that commercial launch that could very easily replace the space shuttle. And so we're very anxious to see the SpaceX team, Elon Musk, Brian Mosdell, out at the Cape, do good work on this and wish them every success. And so we're watching carefully. They had a great countdown dress rehearsal on Friday. Solve some earlier problems that they had. Launch now targeted for May 8th, with Elon saying that, he says it's very probable sometime during the first half of May that this launch will take place. And so they're working through their final procedures and paperwork with the Air Force to get that done. I want to remind you, though, that, you know, getting to orbit is tough, even after years of experience. The nation of India launched their GSLV rocket, geosynchronous satellite launch vehicle, and put on a third stage rocket that they designed and developed on their own over the last couple of years. Well, actually, I think it's taken about 20 years to develop. And it did tumble out of control after ignition, the third stage. The first two stages worked fine. The control rockets allegedly didn't fire on the third stage. They previously had used some Russian hardware there for launches, and they had gone well. This was the first India-developed cryogenic upper stage. And so even after all these years, it's still tough to get to orbit. It's not an easy thing. Meanwhile, the next shuttle mission, as we were just discussing with the Congresswoman, the next mission, Shuttle Atlantis, set to roll out Monday night, launch targeted for May 14th at 2:19 in the afternoon. Its cargo, Russia's mini research module 1, was sent out to the launch pad this past Thursday. And so it sits out there waiting for Atlantis to arrive. And again, that launch remains targeted for the 14th with no real show-stopping issues being discussed. Meanwhile, in orbit, Shuttle Discovery undocked this morning at 8:52 from the International Space Station, landing set for Monday at Kennedy Space Center at 8:51 in the morning. Weather is a concern. Showers within 30 miles are expected on Monday. Slight chance of rain on Tuesday. So, and meanwhile, Edwards Air Force Base looks good on Monday and Tuesday. So my guess right now, they're going to go for a KSC landing on Monday morning. And if the showers are in the way, they'll stay up an extra day and then land at the first good landing opportunity on Tuesday, which very much could wind up being Edwards, which I don't ever mind because I love seeing that thing fly back on the 747. I think that's the coolest thing in the space program. What else? Tonight, the National Space Club Florida Committee will have its annual Dr. Debus Award dinner in recognition of Roy Tharp, who was our guest on Space Talk last week. So a big congratulations again to Roy. This is a big deal. The state of Florida's most prestigious award being given to Roy Tharp, president of Space Gateway Support. So his big dinner is tonight. He'll have a great time with his family and 300 of his closest friends. Next week on Space Talk, author Ralph Nansen, a little bit different take here. We're gonna he's author of a book called The Energy Crisis Solution from Space. So some of these things we've been talking about, he might be able to give us a handle on. By the way, you thought I wouldn't remember, the NFL draft is this Thursday night. The Vikings pick 30th. They're going to take a cornerback. We'll check in with you on that next week. But that's it for today. Thanks for listening. Space Talk, sponsored by United Space Alliance, and is a production of Mila Solutions. Aaron Michaels, as always, our Starship's chief engineer. I'm Jim Banky. We'll talk to you again real soon. Now, don't go anywhere. Dan Connery is next as live and local radio continues on a Saturday afternoon right here on your good old WMMB.